How many of you here this morning at any time have had to write a letter of recommendation? Quite a few of you? Yeah. Whenever I've had to write letters of recommendation, and I've written quite a few of them over the years, it's usually because people are applying for a new job, or they're applying to college or university, or they're pursuing a business opportunity, or an opportunity in ministry, or possibly they're about to engage in cross-cultural missions. And for one of those reasons, I've been asked to write a letter of recommendation. And typically, when I'm writing one of those letters, it involves the following. Listing a person's qualifications, recounting their abilities, assessing their discernible strengths and weaknesses, and then describing their character. And all of these things kind of go in to the letter of reference. And today we live in such a highly connected world where, you know, a great deal of information about all of us is available to all of us. So if the NSA is listening in, we're aware of that. People have easy access to information about others on a variety of digital platforms. And also there's the ability for people to engage face-to-face because of that. But I would submit to you still, letters of recommendation are important, which is why I'm fairly regularly asked to write them. I think they're still considered an important component in assessing an individual for whatever reason that person's being assessed. In antiquity, which is when the Bible was written, whether we're talking the Old Testament or the New Testament, and in fact, throughout human history prior to the advent of the electronic age, a letter of information was extremely important. People would travel for business or work, because in those days, people tended not to travel for leisure like they do today. But they would travel, in some cases, for business and work, and they would carry official letters of recommendation, sealed, which they would give to those to whom they were going. And those letters would say, this is who the person is. It would identify them. This is the kind of thing they do, and this is the kind of person they are. Well, that was also true in the early church. And we know that not only from Scripture, but from extra-biblical sources about the early church, that letters of recommendation were important. And they were important for this reason. If somebody went from one place to another and arrived at a fledgling church of the Lord Jesus and announced themselves to be a follower of Christ and a servant of Jesus, the people in that church, other than through the discernment of the Holy Spirit, of course, would have no way of knowing whether this person was legitimate or not, or whether it was someone that was trying to infiltrate the church to do damage to the church. And that happened a lot in the early church, and we know that, and Paul and John and others address that in the New Testament. So letters of recommendation were important in the early church. They provided spiritual bona fides, if you like, for the person that was coming to the community of God's people unannounced. The passage of Scripture we're going to look at today, our text for this message, speaks to very different kinds of letters of recommendation from a very different author and for a distinct purpose. And Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, his second letter, says this: are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to or from you? That's the rhetorical question that he's asking. And then he says this: you yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts. And look at this next phrase: known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. In other words, when Paul begins this passage, he implicitly rejects the idea that he and Timothy need letters of recommendation on their behalf, written by others to the church of Corinth in order to establish their legitimacy. He rejects that implicitly in the question that he asks. And we know that because he goes on to say something else. He actually says, both in this passage and in the verse that precedes it at the end of chapter 2, some important things that demonstrate that he doesn't need letters of recommendation. At the end of chapter 2, he says this: "We do not peddle the word of God for profit." So he's making clear, Timothy and I don't have some ulterior motive for bringing the word of God to you. We're not peddling it to you so that we can gain materially from it. We don't peddle the word of God like some do, Paul says. So that's one reason why you don't need letters of recommendation. You know that we have integrity. Secondly, he says, "You yourselves are our letter written on our hearts." Paul and Timothy didn't need to commend themselves to the church at Corinth because the church at Corinth was their commendation. In this context, then, Paul's defending himself against the charge of self-commendation. And if you read the full letter, you get the appreciation from this. He's defending himself from opponents who are criticizing him, others who questioned his legitimacy as an apostle. But in the context of that defense, he says something this morning that's the focus of this message. And the something he says is something truly wonderful. And I'm not being hyperbolic when I say that. It's truly wonderful. Something much bigger than just the concern with his own ministry. Something hugely significant for every man and woman, teenager and child, that belongs to Jesus. And that's something that he says is this: that each one of us in Christ is a living letter. A living letter. What does that mean? What does Paul mean by that? And why is it important? Well, Paul gives us the answer to both of those questions contained in this text, and that's what I want us to look at this morning. The first point Paul makes is this: you are a letter from Christ. Those are the very words he uses. You are a letter from Christ. This is not simply a word to the Christians in Corinth. It is a word to them, but it's not simply a word to them. This is a word from Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament scriptures, meant for all Christians everywhere and at all times. Everyone who is in Christ is a living letter from Christ. That's the Lord's word to you this morning in part. I want you to hear that from the pages of Scripture. You are a letter from Christ. You're not just any letter. You are a letter from Christ. You are a letter that Jesus is writing with your life. Every word, every sentence, every paragraph that Jesus is writing is being crafted with loving care and intention. This is why the writer to Hebrews calls Jesus the author and perfecter of our faith. Jesus is the author and perfecter of your faith. What is an author? An author is one who writes. And Jesus is writing a letter with your life. And as he writes that letter, he is filled with joy. It's not a chore to Jesus. It's a joy to Jesus to write a letter with your life. From him to others. He's filled with joy, I believe, at every prospect of scripting your life in such a way that it says something genuine and glorious about His. You were a letter from Christ, and the point of the letter He is writing in your life, as Paul puts it, is this: that your life be known and read by everybody. Think of that this morning. That your life be known and read by everybody. You know, letters are written to be read. Letters are written to be read. The letter that the Lord is writing in your life is distinct. It's unique to you. But it is to be known by others. In other words, the letter Christ is writing with you and in your life is a personal one to you. It's unique. And I believe God cherishes every single life and every single living letter that He is writing. But the letter He's writing in your life is to be read by everybody. In other words, while the letter that God is writing is personal to you, it is not to be concealed from others. It is an open letter, not a private one. Sometimes people say, well, my faith in God is a private thing. No, your faith in God, if it's Christ Jesus, the living God in whom you placed your faith, is a personal thing, but it's not a private thing. Christ wants everybody to be able to read the living letter that He's writing with your life and mine. And the truth is, whether we like it or not, people read the letter that we are conveying to them. God's intention is that that happen, and that Christ be at the center of that letter that's being constructed with and in our lives. But you know, that means something is incumbent on us. If we are a letter from Christ to be known by others and read by everybody, and Jesus is writing that letter, what is our responsibility? What is incumbent upon us as those living letters? Well, this is what I believe Paul is saying is incumbent on us. First, that we be an open letter. That we not conceal our true identity in Christ. That we don't live with a mentality that, in this context, I don't want to blow my cover as a Christian. That we are open. That we are an open letter. So that we can be known by others as Christ followers and read by them. But there's something else that's incumbent on us too. And it's this: that we do not do anything in our life that would delete experientially what Jesus is writing into our life. That we don't do anything with our lives that would make what He is writing illegible to others so they cannot clearly see that we are a living letter of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me put some flesh on those bones. What that means is this: the attitudes that we carry matter. Attitudes can either be an open letter that reveals Christ to people, or it can be the reverse. What about the behaviors we exhibit? Similarly, the way we behave can be an open declaration of the reality that we have been reclaimed by God, filled with His life, and given His grace. Or our behavior can reveal something else. The choices that we make, the habits that we develop, the mindsets that we establish, the relationships that we cultivate, and the purposes that we serve, all of these things have the capacity to reveal openly the new person that we are in Christ, the new person that you are in Christ. But they also have the capacity to conceal The reality of who you are behind the veneer of the old person you used to be outside of Christ. This is why Paul, writing to the Ephesians, says this: you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. What is Paul telling us to do there? Two things: put something off and put something on. He says, you've been taught, put off the old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desire, and put on the new attitude of your mind, in the new attitude of your mind, put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. There is something incumbent on us, something we're responsible for in terms of our response and how we live to the fact that we are a letter from Christ. To the Philippians, Paul said, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Look at that statement. Whatever happens, Paul is saying there's a universal truth here that I'm exhorting you to that is true irregardless of the circumstantial and situational reality in your life. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. And the fact that Paul's exhorting the Philippians to do it implies it can be done through the power of God working in us. How we conduct ourselves matters because Jesus is writing a living letter from him to others with our lives. So our conduct is important. I would say to you this morning, be known for who you really are. You are a new creation in Christ. You're not the old creation that you were. And be known for who you really are because your letter is meant to be read. That's God's intention. But letters are not just meant to be read. They're meant to convey a message. Let me ask you this rhetorically. What is it that others read when they read the living letter of your life? What is the message that they get when they read your life? God's intention is that your life manifests something particular to you, but something filled with hope and promise for others, all based on the hope and promise found in him. In other words, a testimony of redemption by grace and a new beginning. That's the message that God wants other people to get from the letter Christ is writing with your life. A testimony, a living testimony of redemption by grace and a new beginning. Your life is a living letter that shows others that God is true and reveals that he's at work in you and through you, and he can do the same for them. Because of his grace, because of his redeeming impulse to buy people back to God. His goodness and his grace is written on your heart. It's displayed in your life. You have been bought with a price, and your life no longer belongs to you. Paul says that in another place. He says, we've been bought with a price, and our life is not our own. It belongs to Jesus now. Now God wants you and me to honor him with a life that speaks to the reality that we've been reclaimed by his grace and given a fresh start. How do we do that? How do we honor God with a testimony of redemption by grace and a new beginning? I'll tell you how we do. We do it by being good. You know, sometimes I hear Christians say, in a negative way, well, I don't want to be a goody two-shoes. Actually, yes, you do. The whole purpose for your reclamation in this world is to be good. You know, somebody once came to Jesus during his earthly ministry and referred to him as good master. And he said, why do you call me good? There is none good but God. The implication being, do you recognize therefore who I am? But that good God is now living in these jars of clay with the treasure of his Spirit. The goodness of God now lives in us, but it's not just to live in us. It's to be expressed and exhibited through our lives. And if you think this is just me blowing smoke on something, look at the words of Jesus. He says, "Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." It's about the Father's reputation and glory, not ours, but it's about us being the manifestation of God's goodness in the earth. And how does that happen? Through good deeds. You better believe, as Christians, we're called to be goody two-shoes. We're called to be people who do good stuff. Because I'm sure you've noticed, this world is not a good one. It's been corrupted by something that's infected the entire created order, which in the first instance God looked at and said, "Wow, that's good." We are now to be kingdom agents of God's goodness in the earth. That is how we have a living testimony of having been bought back by God's grace and given a new beginning in Jesus. And it says to others, that's available to you too. God intends that your life and mine be a living testimony to be read by everybody. And that means your family. That means your friends. That means your work colleagues. That means your neighbors. That means by all those in every sphere of life where God has placed you. Because you're a letter from Christ to a world that needs him. There's so much stuff produced all the time that people read. What they really need to read are living letters from Christ. The letter God is writing in your life and with your life, it matters. It really matters. I believe we will only find out in eternity just how much each of the individual living letters that we are and that God is writing with our lives, just how very much each one matters. But Paul was clearly convicted about that reality. So the first thing is this: you are a letter from Christ. And the second thing, and the only other point I want to make this morning, which Paul makes in verse 3 here, is you're not just a letter from Christ. You are a letter written with the Spirit of the living God. If the phrase "a letter from Christ" speaks to the outward purpose of that letter that God is writing with your life, then the second phrase speaks to the inward or internal purpose for writing that letter. Look, if the phrase "the letter of from Christ" is about testimony, and it is, the phrase "a letter written with the Spirit of the living God" is about transformation. There's two things going on here with this letter that God is writing. One is that he would provide a testimony. The other is that he would write into our lives a living transformation. The letter God is writing in your life is not a boring series of dead, repetitive words and sentences and paragraphs that say the same old thing. The letter God is writing in your life is vital. You know, the word "vital" means alive. The letter God is writing with your life is a vital one because it's written by the Spirit of the living God. It's a dynamic letter. Because the letter God is writing in your life is with the Spirit is about change. It's not about remaining the same. You are being changed into the likeness of Jesus. Paul tells us that both in this letter and in the book of Romans, as well as elsewhere. With each succeeding word that the Spirit writes in the letter of your life, with each new phrase that the Spirit crafts, change happens. You're a living letter. You're not a dead one. And life in God is about new birth, real change, ongoing growth, and ultimately transformation into the image of Christ. You're a letter written with the Spirit of the living God. And the point of that letter that he is writing is that your life be an experience of empowered living. Not just the testimony of the reclamation or the redemption of God's grace, but an experience of empowered living. We know this because of something else Paul says in the text. After saying that believers are living letters written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, Paul says this, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. He's drawing a contrast here between the finger of God that wrote the old covenant law that was given to Moses on Sinai and the finger of God through the Spirit who is writing a new covenant of grace on the tablets of human hearts given to all those that are in Christ. That's the contrast that Paul's alluding to here for a purpose. He wants us to know that this new covenant is now written into our lives. This new covenant is now written into your life. The good news is that we are no longer in a situation where a legal code is being imposed on us and we're powerless to maintain it or to keep it. Now we have a Spirit that's imparting a life to us freely that empowers us in turn to live a kingdom life. That's part of the joy and the glory and the good news of the gospel. The gospel is not just that we have been saved from something. It's that we've been brought into someone and destined for something. This is why Paul, a couple of verses later, in the same chapter of the text that we've looked at this morning and are looking at, writes this. He has made us competent ministers of the new covenant. He's talking about having confidence in and being competent to do something. He says he has made us competent ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. As a living letter that's being written, not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, each one of you is, Paul says, a competent minister of a new covenant. The covenant of God's grace. It's the life of the Spirit living in us that brings the empowerment that allows us to change. Amen. Yeah. And it produces visible fruit. We talked last week when we were talking about Jesus at the end of our series on the I am statements from John. We talked about the final one, which is I am the true vine. And we talked about as we stay connected to the vine, ultimately we will produce fruit. An empowered life will change us. And there will be demonstrable fruit in our lives because of the work of the Spirit in us. It's the kind of power that allows us, as the author of Hebrews says, to fix our eyes on Jesus, that author and perfecter of our faith, so that we are not constantly tripped up by that sin which so easily trips us up. It's the kind of power that allows us to break the stranglehold of addiction in our lives, in whatever form that addiction comes. It's the kind of power that allows us to bring down satanic strongholds over our lives, the lives of others, the lives of communities. This is the kind of empowered living that's made possible through the Spirit. This is the kind of power that allows us to do the stuff of the kingdom, even though we're just ordinary people, because we've got an extraordinary God and His rule and reign can be known in our lives and we can be instruments of it in the earth. Eugene Peterson takes verse 3 in the Message from 2 Corinthians 3 and renders it this way. Your very lives are a letter anyone can read just by looking at you. That is a wonderful and a sobering statement. Your very lives are a letter anyone can read just by looking at you. Christ Himself wrote it, not with ink, but with God's living spirit, not chiseled into stone, but carved into human lives, and we publish it. A living letter written by the Spirit is who you are, and you are being published to the world. Therefore, the change and the transformation that's going on in you is so important to the kind of letter that's being published to the world and that they are reading. They get to see this, that even in our brokenness, that even in our imperfection, and there's nobody in this room that isn't a recipient of brokenness and imperfection, even though positionally through faith in Jesus we've now been made perfect in him. But I'm talking about as we live life here on this mortal coil. Basically, a transformation of the spirit and a new heart is what God makes possible now in process on our way to his full kingdom. That we don't have to wait until we die to be transformed. We don't have to wait until we die to get a new heart. That God's already made that possible in Christ through the Holy Spirit. Your life is a living letter that shows others the active presence of God. It reveals that God really is at work in people through his Spirit. His purposes and his power are changing our hearts. And it's demonstrated in our lives. I implore you this morning, because I've had to speak this word to myself, don't downplay who God is in you, what God is doing with you, and all that God is showing through you. Don't downplay it. You know, sometimes in our lives, it's good to take spiritual inventory. And I've been doing that, not in a perfect way by any means lately, but I've been doing that. Sometimes when I look in the mirror, I don't like what I see. Sometimes I see really ungodly attitudes. And I'm not being melodramatic here. I'm choking up because this means everything to me because Jesus does. I see ungodly attitudes that I so easily revert to. I see unrighteous perspectives that I've honed and won't let go of. And I yield to them. And I see unhealthy behaviors that I go to in some attempt spiritually to medicate my own dysfunction. I see those things in my life. And then what happens is I buy into the lie. And here's the lie. Mario, that's who you are. And that's all you will ever be. There's no real change going on in your life. Say nothing of transformation from one degree of glory to the next. And when I give into that lie, I begin to accept that I'm destined to live the same old life, trapped in the same old me, and that I'll never really be any different. But the truth is, that is a lie. That is not the truth. Here's the truth for me and for you and for all those that are in Christ. We have been delivered from the penalty of sin, but also the power of sin. We've been delivered from the dysfunction of the old nature. We are destined to change, and change is happening now. That is the truth according to this scripture. The Spirit of the living God is writing a letter in your life, and it's a letter of recommendation, and it's a letter of transformation. It's not a letter of stagnation. You are being changed by the Spirit from the inside out. Don't buy into the lie, even if that sin has tripped you up again, that there's no real change happening in you and no display of the glory of God in your life. There is. Because as we were reminded by Jeff this morning, when God speaks, he doesn't lie. And when God says something, it happens. And his promise is active change and transformation in our lives in process that comes to culmination when we see Jesus face to face. Thank you. Thanks, Dan. I just wanted to say this. Not only are we not a letter of stagnation, but a letter of transformation, it's also true that we are a letter of freedom, not a letter of bondage, that we are a letter of glory, not a letter of ignominy. All these things are ours in Christ.